War Room Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment, live from Capitol Hill, another jury day on the eve of the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, an immensely historic week, only the third time in the history of the Republic that the House of Representatives will actually bring to the floor, debate, and then vote on an impeachment of a sitting president. We're live from Capitol Hill, 17 December, year of our Lord, 2019. It's episode 76. Live on the John Frederick Radio Network, nationwide on Salem Radio Network, on America's Voice.News globally. I want to thank those guys. And, of course, on cable TV, on Newsmax TV, Chris Reddy's fantastic, fastest-growing cable news operation. With 70 million homes now passed, Jason Miller, my wingman, the senior communications strategist for Trump 2016, greatest comeback in American political history, also the transition communications director. Raheem Kassam's on assignment today, but we're very honored to be joined in studio by Matt Gaetz, congressman from Florida, and really the individual, not just a fire-breathing populist, but the individual that broke the fever when he went down with that masterstroke and exposed to the nation what was going on with Adam Schiff down in the skiff, down in the bowels of the Capitol, in this kind of secret audition before the Moscow show trials. Very honored to have you here on a historic eve of an impeachment, Congressman.
Thanks for having me, guys. And I want to thank you for animating a lot of the defense and the energy behind the America First movement that has stayed with this president. I think the thing I reflect on most as we're about to take this impeachment tomorrow is that Democrats have failed to meet their own standard. They told us that after these public interviews of witnesses, that there would be this groundswell for impeachment. There would be Republicans changing. There would be a new bipartisan majority for impeachment. All of that has turned out to be a lie. The evidence wasn't good. It wasn't direct evidence. I think we showed the extent to which this was not the organic outgrowth of some bad presidential conduct. It was a straight up setup. And it was a setup orchestrated to distract the country from the lies that the Democrats told us about Russia. And now as we move into this process, I am here this morning to get advice from the two of you about the next important stage, which is the trial. And let's start with this, okay, because with this question, who is the real jury? Because I think inside the Beltway of Washington, there's a belief that the jury is the Senate. But you seem to believe that there is a broader audience to this,
The President of the United States, you just see with Boris, Brexit and 2016 are inextricably linked. You just see what the populist working with to get the labor vote with Boris Johnson just in the United Kingdom. You're seeing this is a tectonic plate shift throughout the world. The jury, number one, this is for history. 100 years from now, they're going to look back at what happens over the next 2 or 3 weeks like they did, like they've done over the last 6 weeks. We're going to be judged by history, number one. Number two is that President Trump is the titular head. He's the head of a global movement. The jury is the American people, but also, I think, working class and middle class people throughout the world that oppose the party at Davos. And so that's the jury. And that's why I'm quite adamant that we have to have a full trial. Because you said something when you went down to that skiff. Here's what changed it. And President Trump tweeted it the next day or 2 days later. Unity and substance. Unity and substance. Remember, when you went down to that skiff, 85% of elected Republicans said, well, what he did when it wasn't right, wasn't correct, but it's not impeachable. President Trump said, no, it was a perfect call. This is what I was elected by the American people to do. And you said the thing, the more we get into granularity, I want these depositions, I want these up for the American people to see and not be down in a star chamber. Because the more we have granularity, the more we have substance, the more we have exposure to this, the more we have transparency, it's going to go, and all the numbers have come back from that day. And I think that the jury here is the American people plus a global audience. A global audience of people that support these populist nationalist movements throughout the world, and also our enemies in Tehran, in Beijing, in Turkey, throughout the world, in Venezuela, in South Korea, even in Russia. That is also someone we have to, and that's why we have to have a detailed trial. And people like you and Jordan and Lee Zeldin have to be the lawyers. You can't have a bunch of stiff white shoe lawyers walking here. We have to have fire breathers that have to go after these witnesses have to... Listen, you just can't have curation. If you're going to have Adam Schiff on the truncated version, taking 7,000 pages of documents, which we're the only guys, I think, to go through here in the war room with the war room guys and Raheem, and curate that for 4 or 5 days and just boom, 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 you're putting the advantage to these guys. Because I don't think there's a lot in those depositions, right, that really expose the truth. And you with witnesses, Jim Jordan with witnesses, Lee Zeldin with witnesses, then we've got something.
So that perspective is different than the perspective in establishment Washington. Washington tells us that the jury is the Senate and that in the trial, in the defense of the president, we have to lean into sort of the emotions of senators. If what Steve has said is accurate and that the Senate isn't the real jury, that the world is the jury, Jason, from a communication standpoint, how does that change the tactical decisions we have to make as we prepare for this trial in January?
It means we have to go hardcore in presenting our case and absolutely fleshing out every detail to clear President Trump. And I'm going to give you a specific reason why. This is ultimately a political exercise. We talk about the trial as if we're walking into a federal courthouse and this is a jury of peers and completely unbiased people. Everyone in the Senate is biased in some way, shape, or form. I even saw CNN this morning saying, essentially trying to delegitimize the Senate trial. You know, they're already trying to foreshadow that President Trump is going to get off, that he's guilty, but he's going to get off.
Right.
And they're saying, you know, how can these Republican members be on board when you have five Democrats in the Senate running for president, they've said such foul negative things. So we have to go and present our case and hammer it out because, as we talked about just before the show started, the Democrats won't stop once President Trump is cleared. They've already filed their efforts in the House to try to bring up the Mueller report again. Karen Bass from LA has said she wants to bring up impeachment in 2021. They're never going to stop until we drive it into their heads and into the heads of the American people that President Trump is innocent.
An unconditional acquittal is still not good enough as exoneration and vindication. We need exoneration. This movement, the people, the back, because this is all about the nullification project. All this is what they did on Brexit, to try to fight you every day. And what Jason just said, they're not going to stop the fight until we drive the stake in the heart of it. And the stake in the heart of it is going to be on a global stage with people like you who understand the president, understand the DNA of this movement, understand what the facts are and are fearless and are not, because you don't care. That's the power. That's one of the superpowers, right?
I know who I work for, and it's not the people in this town.
Exactly.
So I don't care if they don't like me.
That's exactly what we have to have in this trial. And Steve, all the conventional wisdom is remember, the conventional wisdom's always wrong. And you're seeing the conventional wisdom force the president into a small thing.
Well, then help me appreciate this dynamic, because I think the people that hate you in this town the most aren't the Democrats.
I think
it's the establishment Republicans, and they are concentrated in the membership of the United States Senate. So do you fear that the big long show trial, the big Atticus Finch, you know, presentation of the evidence, do you worry that that creates a longer period of time to empower the Mitt Romneys, the Ben Sasse crowd to come out and, pontificate and empower them to a level that really they haven't been empowered during the Trump presidency?
For every empowerment of that, would be offset by 10 orders of magnitude of what would be presented and the fire you guys would bring. And the reality, we have to look about the Washington consensus is what he's fighting. Look at the Washington Post's Afghanistan report, and I continue to go back to this. 18 years, $2 trillion, 2,400.
Unbelievable.
This is what we're fighting. This is what you're fighting. This is what the Washington consensus, the interagency consensus, is what President Trump is fighting, and that's what's in this report. That's what the Washington Post have exposed. That's what you'll expose in a trial. We'll go after all of it and not leave any stone unturned, and this is why they don't want it, because they fear Trump. They fear the way Trump can disintermediate the mainstream media. They fear the fact that that a couple of guys like you could actually get in there and support his case, and then he can amplify it with Twitter.
So who's your first witness, Jason? If I'm the lawyer representing the president in the Senate, who's the first witness?
Whistleblower. It has to be the whistleblower.
Got to do it.
Where everything started.
Start at the beginning.
This thing started with an unelected bureaucrat who disagreed with President Trump on a foreign policy item, wasn't even on the phone call, and started this entire mess.
You got to remember, he's at the top of my list. We'll walk you through this stuff. He was at the top of the list in April of 2017 to be removed from the White House then. We're going to go back to the beginning of the story. okay, what we got to do here. Can you stay over for the next segment?
Sure.
Okay, this is War Room Impeachment. It's episode 76.
Yes.
Episode 76, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon. We're here. I want to go quickly give a pitch to warroom.org. Got to get people how they get to the website.
Warroom.org.
Gates has got me all worked up.
Especially subscribe to the podcast. We're on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all of them. Subscribe to the podcast. We're seeing great growth. It's a great way to catch it. It's on-demand content anytime you want it.
Okay, we have Congressman Matt Gaetz here. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we return, we're going to talk about the Senate trial, what needs to happen, and why we need the fighters and the fire breathers like Gaetz, like Jordan, like Lee Zeldin, why we need them, why the president needs them, why the country needs them, and why the world needs them. Stephen K. Bannon will be back with War Room Impeachment, episode 76, in a second.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, live from Capitol Hill, 17 December, year of our Lord, 2019, on John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV. Coming out and hanging out with us today. You never know when the War Room opens up who's going to show up to get a free cup of coffee. It's Congressman Matt Gaetz here with Jason Miller and myself. We're pressed for time. You have been one of the most important members of this entire evolution, and you're playing for history. If we actually had a real trial in the Senate and you were one of the lead counsels, you're a litigator. How would you run this trial?
I always put my best evidence first. And here, the best evidence is that the president's questions about the Bidens and Burisma were legitimate. And so I would start by defining the conduct of Burisma and the Bidens as corrupt. I would get the financial documents. I would get the depositions. And then I would show the coordination between these elements of the deep state and these Democrats who are pursuing impeachment. And I think that evidence is going to be very strong. You guys mentioned the whistleblower. The public reporting on the whistleblower seems to indicate a strong connection to Adam Schiff's staff, to presidential campaigns, to left-leaning politics.
To Brennan.
And I think that you put that evidence on first. And if you do, you gain a win beyond just the vindication of the president. You also start to show the American people what reforms are necessary to win this country back.
This is the point of Trump's presidency. This is what's important. He was elected to stop managed decline. That interagency process, this whole Ukraine thing, this is all about managed decline. He was elected by working class and middle class people, and you know this better than anybody. Coming, you were in all the Florida, the entire time. You were with us in Florida the entire time. This was to return America to her greatness. This was to make America great again. We cannot do that unless we lance the boil. The media's got a false narrative that this trial, this little trial, ends everything. We're still in the top of the first inning. This is going to take, remember I said at CPAC, they're just not going to sit there and toss you the keys and give you your country back. You're going to have to fight for it. And the next fight is in the United States Senate at the trial with you as one of the lead counsels.
Well, I appreciate the endorsement and the vote of confidence. I do worry that senators sort of view House members as the Cro-Magnon man that hasn't fully stood up
Is that still, we're still to the British system, it's House of Commons, House of Lords?
There is a natural tension between the House and Senate, and I don't know that senators ever want to be lectured to by members of the House. But Jason's argument is, it doesn't really matter about the senators themselves. That vote is as static and set as the House vote.
They're a cipher.
Let's take a Ben Sasse. For example, Ben Sasse is up in 2020. If he goes and gives President Trump a bunch of lip or acts like he might vote for one of these articles of impeachment, hit the road, buddy. You're not coming back to the Senate. And here's the thing is I fundamentally do not care about the delicate sensibilities of any senator that's in that room. I want the truth put out there for the American public to see, because this is ultimately a political exercise and the media is already trying to discount the findings.
So what's the best headline the day after the trial? The trial ends. The vote has happened.
Trump exonerated. Trump exonerated.
What do you think would be our best evidence? What do you think would be the most compelling evidence to polish up and present in
the email and the communications between all the organized effort from the very beginning, not just here, from the very beginning, to thwart. It's the anonymous. It's all of that. It's to thwart.
This wasn't a crime by the president. No. It was a setup by the people trying to block our
news. And a crime by the people. The guilty are who you're actually going to bring up as witnesses. What I said about his inaugural address, American Carnage, which was really a defense of the Westphalian system, a defense of the nation state. The only problem, I told Miller this later, the only problem with that, with that, with that is that we didn't have the podium turned around, and he made that address. To remember, Bush goes, "That's some crazy stuff," or you know, "That's some crazy stuff." He should have turned the podium around, and that's the swamp that was right there. Okay, this is where you take the torch to the swamp. This is where you and you're a human blowtorch, right? you come in there.
I've been called worse.
No, but they listen.
But a strategic one.
They fear. Yeah, but that's why they fear you, because they understand you don't care. You care about why you're here. You care about the people you represent. You care about their lives, and you care about the direction of the country. And that's what this fight in the Senate is about.
Do you believe that when we achieve this acquittal, that they will continue to pursue this stuff in the House? Because I do. I mean, the Absolutely. Democrats have said in court filings that even though this matter is before the Senate, that they are not done, that they will be a permanent party of impeachment.
And that's why it's so critical that we go and call this nullification project out. I mean, look, it was the popular vote. Then it was Comey. Then it goes into the Mueller report. Now we're into this whole Ukraine hoax. They're never going to stop. But here's the thing. The American people and the independents are getting turned off by the political witch hunt, and they're starting to get it now.
See, I showed up here this morning saying, bank the win. Let's get in the locker room, hit the showers, and then go back out there and work on stuff that actually matters to the American people. What you seem to want is spiking the football and an extended end zone dance.
Well, no, what we want is that what works for the American people, all the economic stuff we're doing, everything like that's important. But this is about managed decline. The permanent political class can be broken, and you can break them.
Even though we're
trial.
Winning impeachment, are they winning because they're crowding out 100%. the trade wins? They're
yes.
crowding
and,
out the
and,
economic
and remember,
numbers,
and remember,
the jobs.
They get to smear him with impeachment. You get this tiny little trial, which he gets acquitted, which you all know is going to happen, but not exonerated, not innocent, and then they're just going to keep on and on. Remember today, they're talking about, hey, impeach him later, or George Conway and that group of Never Trumpers formed that super PAC. They lead story in the Hill. All they're going to do is hammering. He's not worthy. He's disruptive. He's not at the level of what a president should be. It's going to go on and on. You lance the boil in the Senate.
And even if we did that, would they stop? Let's assume we go prove him innocent.
Well, you know, listen, it's a long war. But you know what you've done? On a global stage, using the rule of law, in English common law, you've exposed them. In the most deliberative body in the world, you've used that as your platform to expose them in front of a world audience.
Okay, so here's really putting you on the spot. You've indicated Jordan, Zeldin, myself, that we'd be your top picks. Right. What's the worst decision that the White House could make about who to send?
I think the worst decision is sending.
Maybe if not the person, the type of person. What's a loss?
A loss would be those kind of people that are just going to play by the rules, are just going to play by the rules and sit there and let Schiff read these curated depositions day in and day out and just play by the rules.
Yeah, and this is unconventional warfare. What I don't want are a whole bunch of folks that go in there all super buttoned up, you know, nobody with a bow tie, nobody going in there and say, you know, well, here's what Robert's rules said, or I remember as a 2L, I learned this one particular detail.
You don't want a legal argument. You want a political argument and a theatrical argument.
Yes,
you don't,
because the Democrats 100%. Haven't proven anything
exactly.
in this entire House
you know,
nonsense.
You it's not a and trial.
So,
it's not a,
again, would you ever, could you ever go and prosecute a case when you're basically, you have maybe your deck of cards and the hand that you have are like a 2 and a 3 and, you know, maybe like, you know, a random 7. They have no cards. We already know what they have. Here's Arthur, I want to go back to a point you said a moment ago. This isn't about getting a win and spiking the football and extended end zone dance. This is about building momentum with the American people for their next witch hunt that's coming right up next.
You don't appreciate, because actually with the false bravado you put up there sometimes, you're actually very humble. You don't realize you're actually a historic figure. You now have to embrace that and act like a historical figure. You're playing the long game here. 100 years from now, they're going to look back at this. Divine providence helped Trump, got Trump to the White House. Divine providence is given this moment. You have to seize it. Seize the day.
This is why I come to War Room. You guys give us always so much to think about.
Well, I'm glad you can see you couldn't talk as ever. Okay, we got to take a short commercial break here. Warroom.org, is that where people go?
Warroom.org, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I want to thank Congressman Gates. If it was not for Congressman Gates, we wouldn't even be in this position to fight back for the President of the United States. This is War Room Impeachment, episode 76. We're going to return in just a second.
War Room Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War and Impeachment, episode 76, live from the nation's capital on the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Radio Network, nationwide, americasvoice.news globally, and of course, Newsmax TV, now in 70 million homes. Jason Miller, my wingman, Raheem Kassam's on assignment this morning. We just had Matt Gaetz come by for a hang. Give me your analysis, Jason, of Congressman Gaetz and his ideas about the trial.
So we're joking around during the break, and I was telling the congressman to go back to one of my favorite movies from the 90s. He's like this big bear with these big claws and these big fangs, and he doesn't know what to do with them. Of course, going back to the movie Swingers with Jon Favreau. But the thing about Gaetz is he's so humble. That he comes in, he's like, not sure about the trial, and should we get the win or should we charge ahead? Let's go and debate this out.
He's a historic figure.
He's a historic figure. Yep. He wants to debate this out. Yep. But you see, Steve, you throw him that question about how you would open it, and you see like a switch.
Boom.
You see like literally a switch is flipped with, and he goes right into here's how I'd break it down with the Bidens, Burisma, corruption, Ukraine, president's innocent, tick, 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 going right through.
Bang.
And you're like,
bang.
This is
exactly.
Who I want
exactly.
defending President Trump exactly. in this trial.
And that's the argument I want.
Yes.
I don't want to sit there, or at least the way it's been described is they're going to take the depositions. I don't want to hear Adam Schiff for 5 days go through 7,000 pages of their depositions, 2/3 of which were down in the Star Chamber, and just do a curated version, which is all pure hate Trump from the apparatus, right? From the Washington consensus, from the interagency process, and just hear that over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And that's this is inherently a political exercise. And so we need our best communicators. And I think as we presented that to the congressman, that Steve, your point was so great. We're in the first inning. The Democrats aren't going to let up on this. You know what?
This is not an end.
I mean, Congresswoman Karen Bass, Democrat from Los Angeles area, is already out there championing a 2021
impeachment. When President Trump wins re-election, we got 5 more years of this right here, and then it's President Trump's movement post 20 in 2024. We're fighting for the country, and this is what people I think sometimes don't understand. President Trump is a student of history. President Trump understands what the progressive left understands. Look, why are we in this? Because the progressive left understood what the Republican establishment refuses to believe. He's a transformative president and a historic figure. And that's why they went out and knocked on doors and with Bloomberg's money and central casting of AOC and Abigail Stenberger and Max Rose and all these people, central casting. They won the House to impeach him. I said this in the summer of... They campaigned on it. This is what their whole process... And this is what Nancy Pelosi... They finally even broke Nancy Pelosi. And when Mueller wasn't good enough, they went to the first thing they could find. That's what we have to combat here. We're at the top of the first inning. It doesn't go away with Mitt Romney acquitting Donald J. Trump on January 15th. That's not the point of the exercise.
Exactly. I mean, the point of this, especially as you look, I mean, the national media is focusing on all these Democratic freshmen this morning. I mean, literally the ABC, CBS,
which we've
NBC.
Helped force that. We've helped, the very first show we had, it's the Dirty 30. You got to focus on these swing Democrats.
And the media, even though obviously they would love to see President Trump drawn and quartered here, but you can tell the way that they're treating it, it's almost as if like kind of a bless your heart, Old Yeller routine with these freshmen where they're like, they're vulnerable freshmen. Many of them will not be coming back.
It's so somber the way they say it.
Right. And the way that they're like, and they're showing, especially Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan, literally every network has had a clip from her town hall on the air today. I mean, international coverage. BBC was in town covering her town hall when she said yes. But the media knows that most of these freshmen will not be back after this vote. And then imagine what we can do with President Trump and with back with the House
and
the
Senate
and the White House. And this time, President Trump knows what do we have to put
the hammer
pedal to the metal.
The hammer will be dropped.
Yes.
What do you think the odds are that we get, we got about a minute left. What do you think the odds are that we get the trial that the nation deserves, that the Trump movement deserves, that the world deserves?
I think it's, the odds are changing on this because if you're taking the conventional wisdom of, well, I read in the paper that Senator McConnell and others might not want to have this. This is not a static environment. We have to keep pounding it. every single day, because President Trump, as we've said over and over, it's not just being acquitted, it's being exonerated. In fact, the Wall Street Journal, Mike Bender, has a great story this morning saying for Trump allies, it's not just the acquittal, it's the vindication. And so even the media is picking up on this of why it's so important
that we
get the complete victory here, and not just because it's not going to stop. It's just going to pick up. I mean, Democrats, to make sure people at home realize this, the Democrats on the House committee filed a measure in federal court saying they want to keep this impeachment going. Going back to Mueller.
We got to go to a short commercial break and we're in impeachment. Episode 76. Be back in a second.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room, impeachment. On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to episode 76 of War Room Impeachment. Boy, that was kind of a hard stop right there. I'm still recovering from that one. Okay, we're live from Capitol Hill on the eve of one of the most important days in American political history, because tomorrow, Wednesday, the House will move to impeach on two articles of impeachment. Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States, will be an all-day debate, 8 to 10 hours, and then a vote. President will be in Battle Creek, Michigan, showing what he thinks about that at a rally. I want to now turn to Jason Miller, my wingman. Let's go through what's the order of battle for today and tomorrow. By the way, just a quick announcement. We have a 5 o'clock special tonight, 5 p.m. War Room will be back with episode 77. Senator Rand Paul will be on the show with Jason and myself. And Brahim, we hope, will be back by then. And then tomorrow, the one, the only, Jan Brewer. I love her, the former governor of Arizona. Tough. When you flip to the dictionary for tough as boot leather, Jan Brewer's picture is right there. I mean, she's a fire-breathing populist. So we're going to see have Governor Brewer here tomorrow. What's the evolution for today, Jason? Give us the technical details, the granularity, and then what happens tomorrow.
So today at 11 a.m., the House will convene the Rules Committee. Now, what is the Rules Committee? If you're not someone who dives into this nonsense every single day like us, that is the committee, essentially the governing committee that goes and sets what the floor debate is going to look like. Will it be a closed rule, meaning no amendments? Will it be open, meaning you can't offer floor amendments? How much time? Also, how much debate time? So it's not just the overall debate time, but how is it split? I think it'd be ironic if they actually said it was going to be 50-50, because, like, wait a minute, now it's 50-50, but nothing else has been 50-50 through this whole process. So I'd imagine Democrats will have more time. Democrats are poised to try to move, when this thing opens up at 11, to cut off Republicans and try to limit their ability to delay the process.
The Hill and everybody, roll call, are saying that the Republicans are going to come bring in the heat today. What does that mean?
That means trying to put out amendment after amendment within the Rules Committee to try to institute some level of fairness, some level of transparency as far as when we get to the floor debate on Wednesday, tomorrow. So that'll come out tonight. That Rules Committee vote will happen.
And then, you think that's an all-day event?
It's an all-day event, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is going to be heated. It's going to be nasty. And here's the other detail with the Rules Committee. You don't have to be on the Rules Committee to go into one of the Rules Committee meetings.
Can you actually talk, or are you just an observer? Can you actually have a voice? Can you get to a microphone?
That's a great question.
I don't think you can.
I think it's an observer.
Observer.
But I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans in there just bringing the heat on this, much in the same way we saw Collins and Judiciary do this. Now, when it gets to tomorrow, again, we're going to have probably between 8 to 10 hours of floor debate. We were debating this point earlier about how many members are going to want to go and speak on this.
How do you impeach a president for only the third time in the – this has only happened twice in the history of this republic. How can you actually come there? If you're a congressman, how can you not get down in the well and take your 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it is, and speak your piece? I don't know. Even for the folks back home, they're going to say, hey, I didn't see you on TV. I didn't see the video. How would you justify that?
Well, if you're a Republican, of course you want to go out there to say how this entire thing is BS. So every Republican member is going to be out there chomping at the bit. But on the Democrats, here's the problem with the Democrats. We've seen this reflected in the polling, where it's gone from 90% support of impeachment down to 77% within the Democratic caucus, according to CNN. Because if you're super hardcore, you're going to come out there and basically, you know, you want President Trump removed. We'll be curious to see where the AOCs and the squads, those types who are so hardcore, what they have to come and say. But if you're a moderate member, some of them aren't moderates, but in these vulnerable districts, What are
But you, don't you have to justify your vote before the nation and your congressional district knows that you've taken this risky thing? Don't you have to go do that?
Some of them will if they know that they're going to get bounced and they want to try to promote their profile before they get out of here. But a lot of them, they just don't want to elevate themselves because they know this is probably the last key vote or the last big vote that they ever take.
What's the most important for all of these congressmen? This is the if Obamacare is the last big or the tax cut. Those things pale in comparison to this. This is the most important vote most of these people will ever take in their political lives.
Yeah, and this in a lot of ways.
The most historic, the one that they'll talk about 100 years from now. They won't talk about Obamacare 100 years from now. They won't talk about the tax cut 100 years from now. That'll all be washed in like American history when we read all the stuff that went on. They'll talk about this.
And the mood in town right now is very much these Democratic members know, the ones who are coming out and walking the plank, they know that they're cooked. They know that this very much feels like that Obamacare vote from a decade ago where you're seeing these members, like there's another one who's not going to be back in 2021.
Well, that was the 2010 thing, the big sweep to in 2010 that blew all those guys out, 62, 63 House seats. Judiciary decided not to vote, quote unquote, in the middle of the night. If this thing goes on too long tomorrow, and we'll talk about this more at 5 o'clock, if it goes on too long tomorrow, would she move the vote to have it on Thursday?
I could see that being
possible. You think she'll keep this tight and get the vote tomorrow on a prime time?
As of right now, I think it's going to be a prime time, but could also be looking, depending on how much momentum the president's building, where this thing is, they might decide, hey, let's let the president have his rally on Wednesday night. We'll do this on Thursday to bookend it, and then we try to negate his efforts to bracket. Because again, President Trump's going to have such a big, massive rally in Battle Creek, Michigan, stadium packed.
You don't think it'll be, and no chance he'll be off the chain.
Oh, he's going to be suns out, guns out. This is going to be so great. I mean, I wish I could be there.
This will be a classic.
Those things are so electric. And then, on Thursday before folks get out of here, they'll vote on USMCA, which again should have been done back in January when Pelosi came in. But they've held this thing up, which is pretty ridiculous.
We're going to take a short commercial break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about the polling. We got other stuff to do in the 3 or 4 minutes we'll have left, but I really want to talk to some of the buried leads you found in the polling. How do people get 24 hours a day to get all the news and information we're putting up?
Absolutely. Number one thing is subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Luminary, all the different podcasts. And we're really getting some great comments, too, in the section. We saw there was a great one here. I'll read it. Intelligent analysis from real players. Highly enjoyed finding this show. Been listening almost every day. Glad to hear real analysis from people that have been part of this movement since it began. No spin, just intelligent analysis. Highly recommend. And so that's from Matthew.
Thanks, Mom. Matthew, my agent.
Yeah,
that was. Thank you. But, by the way, that and we like negative comments too. It helps make the show better. We've learned on Vox Populi, the call-in show, that people have made suggestions about this, and we're making technical changes. Any input is appreciated.
Yes, and we love the fact that we have so many members of the media who are listening, even when they're offering technical advice on how to fix certain things within the program. Sharish Date.
Brother Date, thank you very much. Our sound is better because of the Huffington Post.
Just make sure, Sharish, make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. That's all I ask.
And leave a comment. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we return, Jason Miller is actually going to, what's his best thing, is it goes through and finds the buried lead in polling when we return on episode 76. Of War Room Impeachment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to episode 76, live from the nation's capital. Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon. Tonight at 5 p.m., a special War Room with Senator Rand Paul from the Commonwealth of Kentucky will be our guest to discuss on the eve of the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States. Want everybody to tune in or go to the podcast. It'll be episode 77. Real quickly, we've got a couple minutes here to wrap up. Jason, there's been some polling, and as you always do, you've gone in and found the nuggets.
Yes, and quickly to point out, Crooked Hillary is back out tweeting, promoting these impeachment eve rallies that are going on today. We're always keeping tabs on Crooked Hillary.
You mean the soon-to-be-announced Democratic candidate for President of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton?
Yes, in which case then hopefully President Trump says, I want to do debates and just go and take a right tour. But she's out tweeting, in America, no one is above the law, join at Indivisible Team events around the country.
She's so in on this thing right now.
She's running. She's running. So Raheem and the gang and Greg did a great deep dive in some of the polls yesterday on episode 75. I want to point out a couple of things real quick. Their Q poll, the CNN poll, and also this USA Today poll that all came out. A couple things that really jumped out. Number one, the USA Today poll, Trump is beating all Democratic candidates nationally. Think about that. Usually it's all...
That's counting California and New York.
That's a big...
Kaboom!
And here's the buried lead that no one's jumping on, is the fact that Biden is only at 41%. Yep. Wasn't he supposed to be the great general election savior?
Yep.
The one who could flip all these seats? No, they're in real trouble. Mayor Pete's down at 33%. And this is, I mean, this is USA Today poll. Now, here's the thing with the Q poll and CNN. Both of them have shown that the support for impeachment has flipped. And so for the Q poll, it was 48 support, 46 oppose. Now it's 45 support, 51 oppose. So that's flipped. And then CNN, it was a 50 support, 43 oppose. And then this is CNN. You want to know why President Trump is pissed off at Fox? Because when you're pointing out how CNN has a great poll, then and it, what it's now.
But all CNN yesterday talks about is the Fox poll.
Yes. Yeah, they talked about the Fox poll more than their own. Now, they've gone from 50 support to 43 oppose to 45 support, 47 oppose. And Tom Bevin from Real Clear Politics made a really important point. Yesterday, with these new polls coming out, it's the first time that it's flipped. The support for impeachment has gone under. So there's a plurality of people who oppose impeachment as opposed to supporting it. Number one takeaway, though, as far as where the shift is, Democrats are no longer as motivated for this as we thought. It went from a 90% intensity to a 77%. And even Rachel Bade was on CNN this morning talking about a lot of Democrats are taking another look at this and that there are a lot of folks, when we talk about the dirty 30, but there are a lot of members who are just in closer districts that haven't yet said where they're going to be. And this is a big concern. There's a big unknown about how many Democrats could potentially be a no tomorrow.
How could you? Okay, at 5 o'clock today, we have a special War Room impeachment episode 77 will be Senator Rand Paul will join us, head Matt Gaetz. Big day here
in
the War Room.
And Senator Paul is going to talk about his thoughts on calling witnesses in the Senate trial. You do not want to miss this. I think we're going to make some news.
How do people get to us? We've got a couple seconds left. How do people find out about us?
Warroom.org is the website. We are constantly updating things going on. Subscribe to the podcast.
It's totally free. You got to do is download, and all we ask you to do is leave a comment, you know, make a recommendation. Give a review.
John Frederick's Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, Newsmax TV, America's Voice.news. We are out there everywhere.
Okay, I want to thank you for listening to Episode 76, live from the nation's capital on the eve of the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States. We'll be back at 5 p.m.